I have a couple of articles here I want to read to you. One of them is from a missionary letter I received from a Will Rogers. He's a missionary to Thailand, and I'm not going to read it all, but I want to read a little bit of it here. He's over, of course, next to Cambodia, and he took a trip in December 1995 into Cambodia. Says, my December 1995 trip to Phnom Penh, Cambodia, had made a profound impact on my life and has given me a tremendous burden for the needs of the Cambodian people. Most Americans are aware of the ravages of the Vietnam War in the 60s and 70s. But in the late 70s, the bloody and ruthless activities of the Cambodian Khmer Rouge, have received little publicity in their zeal to impose a socialistic utopia. They abolished the family unit, declared God dead, enslaved or liquidated an entire generation, and effectively wiped out 2,000 years of Cambodian culture. In all, it is estimated that 2 million people lost their lives as a result of their cruelty. 2 million. Christians were especially marked for merciless and inhumane treatment. A missionary friend who worked there prior to the revolution estimates that more than 90% of all Christians and almost all church leaders sealed their testimony with their own blood. Since then, there has been civil war and the situation is still difficult. My son Nathan accompanied me on this trip. We were able to see firsthand some of the gruesome evidences of salvaging and from that period. First, we heard the Tuling Sling Prison, a former high school which had been converted into a detention torture center. At least 20,000 men, women, and children are known to have been incarcerated there. The horror of their treatment is evidenced by the instruments of torture and bloodstains that still adorn the interrogation rooms. In other series of rooms are thousands of photographs of terrified prisoners whose eyes still bear upon my mind and heart with their blank, hopeless stares. In the last room is a map of the country, made entirely of human skulls and bones. Of all of those who suffered there are only about a half dozen known survivors. I tremble with emotion and my eyes fill with tears as I write and remember that many of those that suffered were my spiritual brethren, fellow believers in Jesus Christ. Located about 15 kilometers outside the city are the killing fields. These ordinary rice paddies were converted into a site of mass execution and burial grounds. Many of the mass burial mounds have now been exhumed, and one may walk through the series of pits where an abundance of bloody strips of clothing and pieces of human bone are still seen protruding from the ground. In the center of the area stands a memorial stupa consisting of over 20 shelves of human skulls. I cannot describe to you the emotion we felt when we saw these things. At the memorial, I had to bow my head and plead for God to send missionaries to this people, the heirs of such a national tragedy. I want to also read you a little bit about England. Said England is the first birthplace of John Wycliffe, William Tyndale, John Bunyan, William Carney, and C.H. Spurgeon, these great men of faith who helped shape the world and influence their generation, would not recognize the England of 1996. Every 9 days, a church closes its doors. Every 14 days, a Muslim mosque is opened. And every 7 days, an Indian Sikh temple is dedicated. There are more practicing Muslims in Great Britain than Christians in all the mainline denominations combined, apart from the Catholic. There are more born-again believers in Kenya than there are in all of Western Europe. And England is the Bible Belt of Western Europe. In 1791, William Carey, the father of modern-day missions, left England for India. Sadly, one of the churches that William Carey pastored in England is today an Indian Sikh temple. Now England is the mission field. Then there are only a few letters, and I'm sure you have read many and heard many accounts, but that's just a few letters that I receive on a constant basis. I have stories in my files concerning situations like this. All over the land, all over the world, the situation is such that Jesus Christ is being rejected. Jesus Christ is not being brought forth as the only one to save men's soul. Most of the time, it's because there is no one to go. We have a lot of missionaries from America, but let me say to you, many missionaries, even from America, are returning to the field. I mean, returning home, away from the field. We need multitudes of missionaries to go to these places and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Tonight, I want to just bring you a message, and I just want to speak with you tonight. I wish you would just open your hearts. We will continue the thought and the message on through Sunday. But I want to speak to your hearts a little bit about where there is no vision, the people perish. And that is true. If we do not have a vision, people are going to perish. There's just no doubt about it. God said that in His Word, and it is true. The word perish speaks of will apostatize. In other words, will turn into apostates. It also has the meaning of will be made naked, dispersed, become disorderly. In other words, without a vision, without the vision of the Word of God given to people, all kinds of tragedies are going to happen. People are not going to know how to live or what they should do without the Word of God. The world needs the Word of God. The world needs Jesus Christ as their Savior. He needs to be preached all over this world. Multitudes are dying every single day that we live. Multitudes are dying and going to hell. And it's because there is no vision. There is no communication of the Word of God. And that's what really the real vision is all about. The communicating of God's Word. If there is no communicating of God's Word, there's no way for that people to turn to Christ. And I'm afraid sometimes we're so laxed in our thoughts concerning this that it really gives us not much thought whatsoever concerning it. Multitudes tonight are going to hell. They will die by the multitudes, even this day, even while I speak. And they will drop off into an endless eternity in the lake of fire. Word of God says so. I believe it. Do you? Absolutely. And so what we need to understand is, without the Bible, without the Word of God given to man, it's almost like being out in the middle of an ocean. And imagine yourself in the middle of the Atlantic or Pacific Ocean, on your own, nothing to hold you up, there looking up into a starless sky where there is no stars, looking and realizing there is no pilot to help you get home. There is no compass to guide you whatsoever. That's what this world is facing without a vision from God. The world that does not know Christ is out there with no hope whatsoever. They have no compass. They have no pilot. And they do not have any stars to guide them. And they do not know what to do. We look at them sometimes and think, oh my, you just think they've turned to God. They're in a place where God is not being preached. They're in a place which is waiting for someone to come and tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet many times we in our little pious ways sit around thinking how thankful we are to be saved, and we're just willing to let the world go to hell. Now the Bible tells us over in the book of Amos, turn there if you wish, it's in the 8th chapter, the 11th verse, but I'm going to just read you a couple verses. I wish you would listen to them. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land. Not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. The Word of God tells us that there's a greater famine than thirst and of water and of food. And that famine is a famine of the Word of God. Without the Word of God, there is no hope for individuals. Without the Word of God, there can be no vision whatsoever. There can be no responding to the truth of the Word of God. And so Amos here warns of a day when there's going to be a famine, God said, but it's going to be a famine of the Word of God. And I say to you today, in America, there's much a famine of the Word of God. Yes, oh, you say it's preached everywhere. It is not preached everywhere. Multitudes are not preaching the Word of God, and multitudes are not hearing the Word of God. The Word of God is not being going forth as it should be going forth, because we mute-mouthed Christians refuse to open our mouth and tell people about Jesus Christ. We think, I guess we must think, it would be a shameful thing if we would open our mouth and explain the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't know what it is in our hearts, but all I know, a world is going to hell because of it. Over in 1 Samuel, the third chapter of 1 Samuel, the first verse, he tells us about a time when the Word of God was precious. And it means specifically that it was there was not much of it. It did not come forth. In fact, it says there was no open vision. And in fact, in the time of Eli, there was no open vision of the Word of God. And let me say to you, what did God do? He reached down and found a little boy by the name of Samuel. And he called him to grow up to be a great prophet of Israel. Yes, there was a need for the Word of God to be spread. And so God reached down and he called out a young man by the name of Samuel. And he used that Samuel to help bring Israel back to God. I'm simply saying to you again, we need a vision. We need to realize that we need to get the Word of God out. We as a church need a vision of what's going on around us. There are nations that have never heard of our Redeemer. Think of that, folks. Think of it just a moment. Where are you at? You're in America. You're sitting in a church tonight who preaches the Word of God, who preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ. You sit week after week and you get the privilege of hearing the wonderful gospel of Christ. What a marvelous thing it is. Can you imagine living in a nation where there is no gospel preached? Where the Word of God is not brought forth? They're under the influence of wicked traditions and false teachings, serving false gods, and they know no better. And the only way to bring them up out of that is to send forth the Word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the only hope for them. They do not have whatsoever any knowledge of the name of Jesus Christ. They're ignorant of the only name that can help them. And they do not know it or have not heard it. No, they're left in their sinful condition just like you and I was. We was born in sin and we was in the sinful condition of being lost. The difference between you and I, we grew up and lived in a nation where the Word of God was preached. And the gospel brought forth. The vision of the communication of God Almighty was brought to our hearts and we got saved. But can you imagine living in a nation where this is not done? That they are taught from the very little boys and girls to worship false gods? I can't imagine living in a place like that and no one coming along and telling me the truth. Now the only hope is that someone goes and tells them the truth. That's the only hope. See, if you believe the Bible, you believe that if those people die without Jesus, they're going to hell. And that is true. You say, oh, well, God wouldn't do that. Yes, God would do that. And we're responsible for taking the gospel and sending it to all the world. And most of the time, we're not willing to do that unless it becomes very, very easy to do. I was thinking of a man, and I picked up an article of a man who lived. His name was George Lawson. He lived in 1749, and he died in 1820. I had just read to you about England. I want you to listen to what he says about England during that time. He said, blessed, and he lived in England, of course. He said, blessed be God who made light to arise and darkness to us. Britain was in ancient days one of the darkest places of the earth. But through the tender mercies of our God, the day spring from on high visited us. By the cruelty of the popish clergy, the key of the knowledge was almost taken from us in later ages. But through the good hand of our God upon us, we have now great plenty of Bibles and sermons. Let it be our daily prayer that all the nations of the world who are perishing through lack of knowledge may be made to share in our privilege. Now I say to you, that was written back sometime between the days that he lived, 1700 to 1820. He wrote that statement. And now today, England is almost devoid of Christianity. They tell us that only 3% of Englanders go to church. As I said to you earlier, I think it was 7 churches every day is closing in England. And yet we find the mosque opening on a regular schedule, and the Indian temples also opening on a regular schedule, and yet the Word of God is not being preached. There is no vision in England. I wonder how this man would feel If he could only look now and see this England he so loved and was so glad that God sent the Word of God there. And now it's a country devoid of the gospel. And it's not hardly preached there anymore. I know, I remember back when, and you've read the story of John Knox, who said, "Give me Scotland or I die." And God gave him Scotland. Did you know that Scotland today is also devoid of the gospel of Jesus Christ? You see, it doesn't take too long, folks, for it to go by the wayside. Scotland is a place where the Word of God is hardly preached. There's missionaries going there. It's a very hard work. There's false teachers, false religions all over Scotland. And then I think about America and where she used to be. I think about America and how a time when she was more godly than she is now. And when true churches were being erected and the Word of God was being preached, we also are going through a time in America where there's churches closing. And very few good, I say few to the estimate that we are a nation of what, close to 250 million? That very, very few good churches are being started to reach those who know not Christ. And I say to you that America has lost her vision. America needs revival. We in America need revival. I'm convinced of one thing. I'm not ashamed to say it. I'm ashamed that I'm in this condition, but I need revival. I don't know whether you need revival or not, but I have a feeling you do. I have a feeling every person sitting in this room tonight needs revived. A real revival that will absolutely shake your soul and my soul to get us back to where we ought to be for the Lord. Just as there are nations that have never heard of Jesus Christ, there is also neighbors and friends and loved ones who have never heard. I've thought about this so many times, I wonder what we are going to say to God one of these days. When we face God and we had the greatest message that was ever on the face of this earth, the only message could save their soul, and we never shared it with even our loved ones or even with our neighbors or our friends or our acquaintances or our those whom we know or those whom we do not know by going out and taking the gospel to them. I really question that. I wonder how God would look upon it. Would you just for a moment ponder that with me? And think about what God would think about you. Have you shared the gospel? Have you given it to your neighbor? Have you given it to anyone? Whether it be neighbor, friend, foe, or whoever it might be, have you given the gospel to them? And I wonder how God would think upon us. Here's the great God that sent His Son to die for our sins, made it possible we could go to heaven when we die. And yet most of the time we're unwilling to go out and share that gospel with anyone. I'm interested in the nations of this world, and I would certainly like to see those nations saved. And I believe we ought to do everything we can to send missionaries to those nations to help get them saved. But I'm also concerned with Jacksonville and Linton and Duggar and Hymera and Shelburne and Sullivan and Colmont and Worthington and a little Midland down the road, and Vicksburg, and all of these little towns around the area. I'm also concerned that they also have a vision, the Word of God given unto them. And so many times we'll sit back and we'll say, "Hallelujah, let's get a missionary on the field to go and tell the people overseas," and well, we should. And most of the time we are not even willing to go across the street to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need a vision. We need a vision. Once again, Blessed Hope Baptist Church needs a vision. And you know what? I can't give that vision to you. The only thing I can do is preach about it and teach about it, but you must let God open your heart and seal it. You must allow your heart to be softened to the place where God is allowed to work. I can't make you do it. I get up here and preach, and that's what God tells me to do. I'm to get up here and preach and do everything I can to lead this church in the right direction and help us go out and get people. I've been preaching this and preaching it and preaching it. Let's go out and tell people. Let's go out and get people. Let's go out and tell them about Christ. But I cannot make you do it. But let me say to you, the responsibility of a church is to follow the leadership of its pastor. When I call you to arms, you ought to answer that arms. Amen? Or do you pick and choose what you wish to answer? Well, I'm calling you to arms. I'm calling you to go get your neighbors, to go get your friends, and to go get those lifelong acquaintances that everyone in here know. And you know they're without Christ. And if they die, they're going to hell. And I call you to arms to go get them. Now, if you don't do that, it won't be on my shoulders. It'll be on yours. But I call you to arms, and I say to you, my dear friend, a church and a congregation is to follow its pastor. Not only the places you want to go, but when he calls you to arms, you're to follow. And you're to mind. And you're to do it. You do not sit and pick and choose what you would like to do and what you would not like to do. Now, you may do that, but let me say to you, the blood is on your hands. The attitude of most Christians is this. There was a time when I witnessed to them. I remember back 5-6 years ago, I told them how to be saved. Well, I remember a time when I give them a tract. Now, I do not know if they read it or not, but I give them a tract. That's a marvelous thing. That's a good thing. It's a right thing. But let me ask you a question, and here's what usually happens. Well, they just would not listen. Oh, well, I done what I could do. Did we? Have you ever gotten on your knees before God and had such a burden for a soul that you got down on your knees and cried out to God and said, I'm not going to let them go to hell? No matter what it takes, I'm going to cry out to God. I'm going to spend time in prayer. And I'm going to ask God to save them in spite of themselves. I'm not going to let them go to hell. I'm going to ask God, I'm going to beg God to do something. Have you ever did that? Or have you said, oh, well, there was a time when I witnessed to them, and oh, well, they wouldn't listen, and oh, well, they're accountable. Let me say to you, friend, I don't believe that's what the Apostle Paul did. And I don't think that's what Jesus would do. I think it's our responsibility to get on our knees and cry out to God for those individuals. That's what I've been trying to stress. I am leading in this. I'm doing it myself. I get every day in my office, and there's certain individuals I'm crying out and asking God to save. I'm asking him to get them to church. I don't know how long it's going to take. All I know is I'm going to pray and I'm going to go. Now, you can pray all you want. If you don't go, then you're going to have to realize that ain't going to get it. You're going to have to go, and you're going to have to pray. Amen? You see, it's what it's going to take. It's going to take a heart concern. And let me say to you again, you can't conjure that up. You can't conjure it up. It has to be a heart that's been touched by God. And God puts a burden on your heart and says, I want you to go get lost souls. I want you to go witness to them. I want you to go tell them. No, you cannot make them get saved. You cannot make them come to church. But you can sure keep after them, and you can sure keep after God about them and not give up. And we need to cry out to God, and we need to ask God to give us souls. We need to see people won to Christ. People are dying every day, you see. Let me ask you this, that person you witnessed to 10 years ago, have you ever went back? Don't you think maybe it's time to go back? And tell them again of the marvelous grace of Jesus Christ, the wonderful God who saved us. I want to say something to you folks, and I know sometimes we forget this. We really get lax, and we see a lot of things not happening that we'd like to see happen. And sometimes maybe we get discouraged. But I want to tell you something, folks. God is still able to save. And the Almighty Holy Ghost power is able to convict the person that sometimes don't even want to do it right. God is able to reach down in that life and turn their heart. God is able to do that. You and I cannot do that, but God is able. And again, I just want you to get a vision. I want myself to have it. And I want you to get a vision of the fact that you are responsible for people's souls. Yes, I am too, but you are too. You know people. There's people around you, neighbors, and some people tell me, I just don't know anybody. Well, shame on you for not knowing anybody. Shame on you. Go out and find somebody. Get out and visit. And invite people to come to Christ and to come to church, you see. Where there is no vision, the people perish. And that does not mean necessarily a heathen nation. That means in our own little neighborhoods, where there is no vision, people perish. If they do not hear the word of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ, they're going to perish. Is that not true? Is that true? Whose responsibility is it then to give it to them? Could not we cry out tonight and just lift our voices and say, it is mine? Would anybody want to join me? It's mine? Is it mine? Well, say it's mine. It makes it personal, don't it? And it is mine. And it is yours to get the Word of God out to those who've never heard, who've never seen the vision of the Word of God. Now, this really bothers some people when this kind of preaching, because they don't want pressure put on them. They don't want to feel the pressure of the Word of God coming upon them. They don't want to hear it. Preacher, just shut up, so I won't have to feel that guilt that you always put on me when we talk about soul winning and winning souls and telling people about Christ. I feel guilty. Just shut up, preacher. No, we can't shut up. Because that guilt, you ought to feel that guilt. It ought to weigh heavy upon your shoulders. If it doesn't, then you better be checking your spiritual life out. It ought to weigh heavily upon you. It's not just someone else's responsibility to go see your neighbors and friends. It's yours. It's your responsibility to go see them and bring them to Christ and get them to church and do everything you can. Pray for them. Get along with God and pray. There's nobody in this world to pray for your loved ones like you will, because there's no one that loves them like you do. No one. Say, oh, I'll get so-and-so to pray for her and go see my... Why don't you go see them? Why don't you go tell them about Christ? Why don't you have a vision? And that's what our church needs, is a vision of going and spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. I believe we need a vision in our homes of what's going to happen if we do not lead our family in a correct way. I want to tell you something, folks. The stakes are high. And we need a vision. Moms and dads need a vision that we need the spiritual life for our children more important than anything else. To teach them to love God is more important than anything else in the world. To walk with God is more important than to learn how to walk in this world and to make a living. It's more important. We also need a vision in the church, that the church needs to realize its job and responsibility to tell people about Jesus Christ and bring them to Him. The church is not a place where we come as a little gathering three or four times a week. The church is a place where you come and get filled up, ready to go out into that world and tell people about Christ, to bring them to Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. That's why I spend so much time in that study back there, is trying to get you prepared and ready to go, and myself also, so I can preach that the Word of God might do something in your heart. And the only way it will is if you let it. Oh, you can reject everything I'm saying tonight. You can just lambast it. You can just turn your ear off and you can say, I'm not going to do it. You may not say it with words, but you'll say it with your heart. But I want to tell you something. Blessed Hope Baptist Church needs a vision. It needs a vision of going out and getting people for Christ. We need also a vision of a lost and dying world. If we could only get a little understanding of the fact of what it means, if what it means to be cast into a lake of fire, never no hope of getting out. Those people you work with that are unsaved, did you realize if they die, they literally would be cast into a lake of fire, in a place of fire and brimstone? How about the neighbor that lives next door to you that is not saved? Do you understand if they die in that condition, they will be cast into a literal lake of fire to be there for all eternity? Youngsters, those you go to school with, do you understand that those that know not Christ are going to die and go to hell and burn for an eternity in a devil's hell? Do you understand that? Does it do anything for us if we understand that? Does it change our heart? Does it make us willing to let God use us? What does it do? Or do we just sit back in a lackadaisy manner and sit back and wait for the preacher to shut up so we can go home and get us a midnight snack and go to bed and forget all that's happened? In verse 18 of chapter 29, he says this, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Let me say also to you, the vision is not just some suggestion. The vision that we are to give is the law, the Word of God. That's what we're to bring. God's Word is what men need, not our suggestion or our traditions, but the Word of God brought forth to people so they can understand their need of Christ. You see, the vision of God comes with divine authority, and it demands obedience. Did you notice here it talks about that the person is happy who keeps the law? It doesn't say who has the law, but keeps it. Did you know that not only are we to take forth the Word of God, but we also are to keep the law and to walk with God? You see, the vision, the Word of God, is to regulate our very life. It is to control us. And what the Word of God says, we are to mind. Now let me ask you, does the Word of God command us in so many different places to go out and preach the Word of God to every creature? To preach the gospel to every creature? Does it command us as Christians to do that? Well, sure it does. And are we to just take that as so lightly and figure that we can just pass it off and not obey it? No, that comes with divine authority for you and for me. And it demands obedience. It is not a suggestion. Did you realize that a person who has that vision and yet is not controlled by that vision will perish just like those who have the vision, who does not have the vision? We talk about where there's no vision, people perish, but also is it true that where there is a vision and people pay no attention to it, people also perish? You see, I can bring forth the Word of God tonight, and I can give you a vision of spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. But if you do not do it, people will perish. We've got to understand, you see, to obey God does not bring bondage, folks. It brings freedom. Don't you understand that that's why the man is happy who has the vision? He's happy because he keeps the law, not because he lets it go and does not what it says. A man is happy, folks, who keeps the Word of God. That's where happiness comes. A lot of people want to think that they're in bondage if they have to be under bondage and obedience to God Almighty, but that's where freedom's at. That's where you find freedom, when you obey God. One man said this, a vision without a task makes a visionary. A task without a vision is a drudgery. A vision with a task makes a missionary. Amen? You see, we have a task. We ought to have a vision, and we've got a task to do. Do we not? The spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ. See, Brother Ross, there's certain things, you know, I can't do this or I can't do this. You can do something in spreading the Word of God. See, them's all excuses. They're not reasons. They're excuses. There's ways to find out. Sister Vestal back there has a brother very sick in the hospital. He's unsaved. We was talking about that, and I said, Mrs. Vestal, is there someone that you can contact out there that will send a good Bible-believing preacher to go and see him and talk to him about the Lord? And she said, you know, I have an address of a Baptist church out there. And she looked up. She told me today she found the address. She's going to write to them and ask them to go see her brother. My dear friend, there's something you can do. Amen? There's some way you can spread the gospel. And there's multitudes. You will not run out of people who need it. Amen? They're everywhere. And so we need a vision. You know, in Isaiah's vision, and I'm not going to turn over there, but Isaiah's vision, his vision was an upward vision. He saw the Lord high and mighty. He was looking upward. And I say to you, we need, first of all, to look upward and see the Lord and see His what He wants for us. And what He wants us to do. If you would ask God tonight what He would have you to do, what do you think He would tell you? Do you think He would tell you to just sit still, don't worry about it, and maybe some folk will come by and see you and ask you about me? Do you think He would ask you say that to you? No, I know He wouldn't. He would say with Isaiah, go and tell them. Go, but first you got to get a vision of the Lord. You got to look upward. Secondly, His vision was an inward vision. He saw Himself. Undone and unclean. He knew he needed cleansed. Folks, without God's cleansing, we too can do nothing. But with the cleansing of God, that wonderful shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, We have a power there that is a mighty, wonderful power which comes from God. Not because we deserve it, not because it's because of us, but it's because of Him, and He has cleansed us and washed us from our sins. You see, we need a vision. We need to see God, and then we need to see ourselves. He also had an outward vision. He saw the people. He said, I live amongst an unclean people. He saw a vision of the world. He understood that the world was lost and unclean. We also need to understand that. His was a vision of holiness. He knew he could not stand before God unclean. And let me say to you folks, we need a vision of holiness at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. We need to realize we serve a holy God, and He expects us to live holy lives and to act like a holy people. Amen. We need a vision. And I'm saying to you tonight, you may not do it. I don't know what you will do. I pray you will do it. I pray you will take to heart this which I have told you tonight. It's been a very simple, plain message. But I know God wanted me to bring it. And He wanted me to do everything I can to stir your hearts to reaching people for Christ. And get a vision of the lost world. Those people around you will die and go to hell if someone does not bring them to Christ. Tell them of the gospel of Jesus. That's just the way it is. And God expects you. He's placed you in that place. He's placed you in your neighborhood so that you'll be a witness for those around you. Amen? I trust you'll have a vision, and I trust you'll take the vision of the Word of God and take it to people who've never heard. I trust that God gets a hold of your heart. If He doesn't get a hold of your heart, you won't do it. No, you won't. You'll come back Sunday morning just the same as you come in tonight, unless God gets a hold of your heart and you let God do something about it. We need revival at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I want to see revival in our meeting, the two-night meeting. I want God to do something wonderful. I want people to come and listen, but I want Blessed Hope Baptist Church to be revived. And I want that to continue on. I want to go on through it. I want to see in our March meeting with Dr. Rushing, I want to see revival continuing through that meeting and then just continuing on through and see what God will do for us. Amen? All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, again I thank You for the wonderful grace of God, Your goodness and kindness to us. Once again I ask You, Lord, to have Your will. Father, You know the heart of your man. You know I have no desire just to see people walk down an aisle because they feel a need to walk down an aisle because of me or any other reason. But I want to see people walk down an aisle and get along with You because You've touched their heart and they've responded to that. And so I ask You for it. In Jesus' name, amen.